ready. Tell your other neighbor, get ready. Because God is going to do a major thing tonight. Miss Ranika, you can come on up. I have one announcement for you guys. Miss Alicia and Miss Marilyn Hope wanted me to announce this. All of the single mothers, if you can raise your hand. Anybody that's single and is a mom in this place. Awesome. Fantastic. We are having a Mother's Day brunch May 4th. From 9 a.m. till about 12 noon. We're going to do a lot of fun activities, and we'll also be taking pictures. Dr. Liz Chavis is going to be our photographer, so it's going to be a fun morning. It's May 4th, so just mark your calendars from 9 a.m. to 12 noon. Also, I'm going to be bringing a little devotion for the single moms. So if you're here, come on out. We invite you. It's going to be fun, food. Bring a friend of yours that may be, you know, that may need to hear the word regarding some single motherness type of stuff. All right, you ready?
Good evening, Philly ladies and visitors. Welcome. I'm a little nervous. It's been a while, but it's okay. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we just thank you for this evening, bringing us here, God, all these beautiful women, God, who's pressed their way in, God. I pray, Father, that you would just prepare the hearts, oh God, for the word that you have for tonight, Lord God. I pray, Lord, that this would be a word that would change the lives of every woman tonight, that we would take this word, God, that we would walk this word out, God. The song said, I want to walk worthy of your calling to fulfill, God. We want to be women who walk worthy of the calling to fulfill, Lord God. So, Father, I pray, Lord, that you would purge us tonight, Lord God, that you would send your holy fire, God, to come down, God, and burn up anything in us that's not of you, Lord God. We just want to live a holy life. We want to be holy, for you are holy. We want to be righteous, God. We want to be pure, God. Father, we want to be good with one another, Lord God, good to one another, God, but we just want to be right before you first and foremost, God. So, Father, have your way tonight. Anoint me, Lord God. Give me the words that you want to say, God. I decrease that you may increase, God. Have your way, Lord God. Let it not be about the messenger, but about the message, God. Your very word, God, which will do what it set out to do, Lord God. I pray, Father, that you would have your way. Holy Spirit, have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, tonight we're going to be coming out of the book of Psalms, Psalm 139. This is one of my favorite passages of scripture, has been for a very long time. And I mentioned to First Lady a long time ago, she had asked us, what's your favorite scripture? And I said, Psalm 139. One day I'm going to teach that. So I guess today is the day. So let's go ahead and get started. I am going to actually read it in the NLT, and I'll have it up on the screen for you. The title of this message is Search Me. It says, O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I am going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and you follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Too great for me to understand. In these first six verses, and this is just the introduction, I'm going to go through the whole psalm. The first six verses, David declares the omniscience of God. The omniscience of God. He's just basically saying, God, you know every single thing about me. Nothing is hid from you. You know my everything, my inside, my out, my attitudes, my thoughts far away. You know everything. My heart, there's nothing hid from you. Continuing on with verse 7, he says, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave or Sheol, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell in the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. In these verses here, David declares the omnipresence of God. that he is everywhere at all times. There is nowhere we can go to get away from God. Continue a little nugget just so that you know. I teach third grade at PCA. And one of the things that we do, we learn root words. And so one of our root words is omnis. And omnis means each, every, or all. It's a Latin word. And science means knowing. Present means in a place. So two words that derive from omnis is omniscience and omnipresence. Our kids learn how to break down these words, that if they came across these words and didn't know what it meant, they could break it down and say, well, omni means all. Science means knowing, all knowing. God is omniscient. He's all knowing. That's just a little nugget for if you were trying to decide whether you want to bring your kids to PCA. We are educating them far beyond what the public school could ever or would ever teach them. Moving on. So in verse 13, David says, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day has passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of the sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. In this section, he's declaring God to be Elohim, the creator, the author, the beginning, where I originated from. He saw me being put together as even with his hands as he formed me and shaped me. So David declares the omniscience, the omnipresence, the Elohim. He's just declaring to God who he is. He is in full worship right here. But in this next part, he gets a little personal. And he begins to pray. And he prays something that I pray that you pray. I've prayed it. I've read this psalm so many times. I've prayed it. And I didn't realize how challenging of a prayer it was until he answered it. So he says, oh God, if only you could destroy the wicked. Get out of my life, you murderers. They blaspheme you. Your enemies misuse your name. Oh Lord, shouldn't I hate those who hate you? Shouldn't I despise those who oppose you? Yes, I hate them with total hatred. For your enemies are my enemies. And this is where we're going to say a lot tonight. Verse 23 and 24, David says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. These two scriptures are, I mean, these two verses, they are very real. You know how we like to say, we real. They're real, but in the sense of you being real with yourself, okay? And so, God, in us, everybody has good, bad, and ugly. That's just the truth of the matter. God wants to cultivate the good. He wants to transform the bad, and he wants to destroy the ugly, all right? So tonight, what we're going to do is a little self-evaluation, all right? And we're going to take a look at ourselves, not in the light of our own eyes, but in the light of God's eyes, what he sees. We still have stuff to work on, whether you've been saved for many years, a few years, it doesn't matter. We all have stuff to work on. But we have to keep it real with ourselves and stop making excuses for our stuff, okay? Not dealing with the things, these things, and these things, I would call them sin and bad character. Not, God bless you. Not dealing with these things could cause us to be hindered in our life, whether it be our spiritual walk, in leadership, in our marriage, in friendships, effective parenting. Not dealing with our stuff affects how we parent. Getting our blessings, okay? So, are getting single women, getting that husband you've been praying for? Maybe there's something God's trying to work out of you before he give you that blessing. So we're going to have 3 points tonight. Point number one is search me. Point number two is see or point out. And point number three is lead me. Let's get started with our point number one, search me. The word search in this passage means to examine, to explore, thoroughly examine, to be found out, to seek out, to penetrate. When you penetrate something, you go through it. To examine intimately, when you examine something intimately, you examine it really, really close. It's the idea of digging up something all the way down to the root. The fact that he says, search me, tells me that it's not easily seen. It's not something on the surface, all right? If it was on the surface, you wouldn't need to search. You could just see it, okay? But the fact that he says, search, search me, he's saying, go deep. Go beyond the surface. Let's look past what everybody can see, and let's look at what nobody can see. David desires a life of holiness. This is not a word we hear very often, a life of holiness, but this is something we should pursue. Why? God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Okay? But what does that look like? Okay? So David goes to the one person that knows everything about him. Remember, in the very beginning, he says, God, you know me. You know everything about me. There's nothing hid from you. So therefore, he goes to God and says, God, search me. One thing we have to keep in mind is that we are all sinners. And all of our characters are flawed, especially before Christ. There's this thing called original sin. Original sin begins with Adam. When Adam ate of the fruit, sin entered into the world. But the thing is, God didn't say, well, Adam, I'm going to allow this sin and that sin and that sin. So that tells me Adam had all sin and all character flaw, which is passed on to his seed, which is all of us. The thing about it is, you may operate or you may have certain sins that are more prevalent, certain character flaws that are more prevalent based on what was cultivated in your life. But don't get it twisted because, you see, just because you haven't operated in this particular sin don't mean that it's not there. Don't mean that it's not there. David says in Psalm 51, this is when he's sinned really bad with Bathsheba, and he says, I've been shapen. To shape something is to form it. He said, I've been shapen in iniquity. He was born into sin. He's aware that this thing is there. And it has been there from the beginning. So tonight we're going to do a little detox. Okay? We're going to do a little spring cleaning. All right? Detox, meaning we're going to identify and purge ourselves of the impurities and toxins that lie beneath, that's deep within. All right? The thing about spring cleaning is you do it once a year. So do we do a detox of our soul once a year? Or are we waiting years and this stuff is building up? Spring cleaning happens once a year. After spring is summer, things bloom. After summer and things bloom, then is the fall and it changes colors and fall, leaves fall. Then is the winter where everything die. Then spring come again. Did you clean? Or do you still have that dead stuff? 2 Timothy 2:21 says this, if a man therefore purge himself of these, and the verse before, he gives a list of sins and stuff. He says, if a man therefore purges himself of these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. When we purge, we become a vessel unto honor. He says, sanctified, and meet for the master's use. That caught my attention. And meet for the master's use. And prepared unto every good work. All right? When we allow ourselves to be purged, when we purge ourselves, because it's twofold, we have a part, God does his part. When we purge ourselves, we are meet for the master's use. We can be used by God. Now you might be thinking, well, I have a gift and I'm already operating in it. Well, praise God. But maybe he's not using you to the fullest, okay? Maybe he's not using you to the fullest. Why? Because you still got some stuff. So let's look at when David says, "Search me, O Lord." And he says, "Know my heart." Jeremiah 17:9 tells us this, 9 and 10. It says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked." You see, if we make a list of a bunch of things, whatever you think of, he says above all things. The heart is deceitful. The world tells you, follow your heart. You better not follow your heart. You better follow Jesus, like that song say. You see, because our heart will deceive us. And it says it's desperately wicked. When you're desperate for something, like you'll stop at no end to get it. It's desperate to be wicked? What? Then it goes on to say, who can know it? Who can know it? But with the help of the Holy Spirit, we're going to know our heart tonight. He says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. He said, I'm going to test your heart, and I'm going to give you what you deserve. But then he has this thing called mercy. Matthew 15:18 tells us, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. So it's our heart. It's in our hearts. So we ought not to deceive ourselves to think, no, I'm good. No, it's there. But let's discover it. Because you see, and a person that's addicted to something can't get help until they realize that they have an issue. So tonight we have to realize that we have a heart issue. We have heart issues. We have issues. But let's resolve them tonight. Then David says, after he says, know my heart. Now, this is a real, real prayer. David is saying, like, he's asking God. Now, God is holy. That means nothing defiled can be in his presence. Nothing dirty. He says, try me. Test me. Try me. At this point, David, this word try means to make a trial, to prove or scrutinize. What David is saying is send it through the fire. He's saying put it through the fire. You see, whenever you put gold or silver through the fire, and there are several Bible verses that talks about putting silver and gold through the fire, what it does is it gets the impurities out. Or like with a diamond, it's all dirty, and you have to purify it. You have to put it through fire in order to get the beauty of it. So it is with us. And God says, he searched the heart. He tests the heart. He puts it through the fire. We all must go through the fire. So when David is saying, test me and try me, he's saying, this stuff that's in my heart, put it in the fire. Okay? Job says this, Job 23:10. He says, but he knows the way that I take. God, he know what I'm going to do. He know what I'm going to say. He know which way I'm going. He knows the way that I'm going to take. But when he has put me through the fire, I will come forth as gold. I'll be purified. I'll be beautiful. Psalm 66:10 says, for you, God, tested us. You refine us like silver. Proverbs says, the crucible for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart. See, in Peter, look what he says. He says, they have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith. What happens is when we allow God to put us through this fire and burn up this stuff, it shows the genuineness of our faith. It gets rid of all that other junk so that we can really see, so that your faith can really be shown. It's not fake. It's not a disguise. It's not hypocrisy. It's not Pharisee. It's not self-righteous. It's real, genuine faith. He says, a faith that is greater than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire. See, gold is going to perish, but your faith won't. He says, and so that it may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Which is what we're all waiting on, right? So then he continues. He says, search me, O Lord, know my heart. And we've discovered that our heart is wicked and deceitful. He says, test it, try it. And then he says, know my thoughts. So for a long time, I would wonder, I say, okay, God, sometimes you say the thoughts of the heart, you say the heart, then you say the thoughts, then you say the mind. How does all this work together? Because you see, your thoughts and your mind, your heart, is all part of your soul. It's part of who you are. It's your person, your will, your emotions. All of that is part of your person, okay? So I'm like, how does this all work together? Well, my revelation is this. Your heart is where the sin and the bad character is, but your thoughts is the plans behind it. It's the intentions, the motives, okay? Because you see, you can have that sin right there, but then what are you going to do with it? How are you going to act upon that? It takes a plan, some form of plan, and that's where your thoughts come in. And so in our thoughts, we have attitudes. Whatever your attitude is about a thing is going to determine how you act upon that thing. All right? So in Ephesians 4, 21 through 24, this is what the Bible says. This is what Paul says. Paul says, since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off the old sinful nature and the former way of life, which is corrupted by the lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. You see, what we have to do after we get saved is allow the Holy Spirit to renew our thoughts and the attitudes in our mind. And oftentimes, that's not what we do. Okay? And so, we're still doing the same things we've been doing and thinking the same ways we've been thinking and wondering why nothing is changing. Okay? And so, in point one, search. He asked God to search his heart and search his thoughts. Now, here's the thing that we have to realize. God already knows his heart and his thoughts. So why is he asking this a second time? Let's continue to point number two and find out. Point number two is see or point out. In the King James Version, it says see. In the NLT, it says point out. I like point out. The point out means show me. That's what he's saying. I'm not asking you to search my heart and my thoughts so you can know it. You already know that. I'm asking you now to show me because I desire to be holy. What we call that is introspect, okay? And introspect, all it means is a reflective look inwardly, an examination of your thoughts, emotions, or internal condition. And I'm going to add this to it. An evaluation of yourself through the eyes of God. Because you see, the world can evaluate you, and you can go and look at some of the psychologies and all of that about introspection, and you know, they have all their theories, and I've taken a few psychology classes, and their theories are something weird. It's weird. I have to take psychology, and it's okay. I like it, but sometimes they say some things that's really like, where did you get this from? So we're going to look at it through the eyes of God, which is the only way we should be looking at anything anyway. So he says, point out what? The wicked way. Any way that's wicked or offensive. What is wicked and offensive in me? Wicked and offensive means this. It means, and this is towards God, wicked or offensive towards God. It means something that's painful to God. Sorrowful to God, considered idolatrous to God. It would mean wicked or offensive means sin, evil, anything immoral, bad, wrong, insulting, rude, hurtful, disrespectful, and wounding. That is what wicked means. So he's saying, point out anything that's disrespectful in me. Point out anything that is rude in me. Point out anything that is sinful in me, anything that I have idolized that has taken your place. Point it out in me. Then he says way, wicked way or offensive way. The word way means habit, manner, conversation, action, course of life, moral character, path, road, journey, or direction. So we can say it like this, and this is what I like to do when I look up words, you know, and put it back into scripture. Point out anything that is bad manners in me. Point out anything that is sinful habits in me. I'm taking the definition of the two words, putting it together so I can make it plain to me to understand exactly what God is saying. David is saying to God, point out all of that in me. Because you see, back to Matthew, it says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceeds, this is Jesus talking. Jesus is telling them what comes out of their heart. He's really rebuking the Pharisees about washing hands. They worried about washing hands. He said, don't worry about washing hands. Washing hands is not the big deal. It's what's in your heart that's the big deal. So he's saying, out of the heart, this is what comes out of the heart. Evil thoughts, that's your intentions and your motives. He says, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. That's what comes out of the heart of man, and that's what defiled the man. Not whether or not you're going to wash your hands. So with all that said, all right, as believers, and I keep saying as believers because this message is really after you've been saved, it's how we should walk. Okay, it's how we should walk, and this is how we should walk worthy of the call, worthy of even having a relationship with God. If you're not saved by the end of this night, you can get saved. You can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can know him for yourself. So then you're getting like kind of the horse before the cart before the horse, but we're going to give you the whole thing tonight. So with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can pray and ask him to show us ourselves. We can ask him to sanctify us. I just want you to know that when you ask to be sanctified, ask to be holy, he will do it, and it requires you to walk through the fire, okay? Now, that's if you want to go to the next level in your relationship with Christ. If you want to stay stuck in the same place and mope in your gunk, that would almost make you questionable on whether you're really saved or not. But God knows the heart. Okay, nobody should be satisfied in their stuff. Sheep don't like to be dirty. We can also use the word, read your word daily, meditate on scriptures, admit your own faults when he show them to you. When you're reading the word and you can see that this word is speaking to you, admit that. You have to admit that. What I like to do character analysis. So like First Lady is teaching about the women of Proverbs, okay? I love that. I love character analysis. But here's the thing about character analysis. So First Lady started with the strange woman. And so, you know, that's a hard character analysis because you want to not really say, that's me. But the truth of the matter is it doesn't matter who you look at in the Bible. Everybody have good and everybody have bad. We can't pick the good and say, oh, I'm like that, or I need to be more like that. But then the bad, we just ignore that altogether. You're going to be stuck with your stuff. God allowed you to have a bird's eye view of people's lives. These are real people, not people, fictional characters of a book. These are real people. These are Hebrews. So they're going to have a lot of the same stuff as you, you know? And so, for example, we have Jezebel. So, you know, you hear Jezebel and everybody go, whoa, not Jezebel. Yeah, Jezebel. Because the truth of the matter is, you know, she had her stuff. And one of the things that I think that stood out to me the most with Jezebel is this. Her husband was the king, yet she called the shots. So, wives, if you're calling the shots in your house, let's reflect. Check your heart. Check your heart. If your husband is over there moping about something and you calling the shots and saying what should be going on, check yourself, okay? Then you have Judas, all right? Judas had a love of money. He had a love of money, and he did not realize this until he had sold Jesus out. Then you have the strange woman that First Lady talked about with her seductive words and ways, and, you know, let's not act like it's not us. Even if it was before Christ, but sometimes it's even after Christ that we're still operating in some of this stuff. Paul said, I'm the chief sinner. I persecuted the church. I was killing Christians. Man, I thought I was doing it for God. My zeal was on fire. But he was able to admit to himself that this is who I am. He says, I am that I am, but for the grace of God. If it was not for his grace. You have Peter. Peter first met Jesus on the boat. And when he couldn't catch fish, Jesus said, throw it on the other side. And Peter was like, I've been fishing all night. You really think I'm going, okay, all right, cool. I'm going to do it because you said to do it. And he did it. You know what Peter did after that? I am a sinner. He had a real reflection of who he is, what is in there. Even when he denied Jesus 3 times, he left crying bitterly. You know why? Because he saw himself. Jesus told him, he said, you're going to deny me? Peter said, no, I won't. I don't care if all of them leave you. I'm still going to be there. Mm-hmm. And it's a hard thing to see yourself. It is a hard truth. It really, really is. But it is so necessary. And in the moment, it don't feel like it, and it hurts, and it's horrible. And the right response would be a godly sorrow. Okay? But it is necessary for your growth. It is necessary for your relationship with Christ. It's necessary for you to move forward. It's necessary for you to walk in your calling. It's necessary for your marriage. It's necessary for your friendships. It is a necessary thing for us to do. Naomi says this. She said, when she left with her family, she had a husband, son, they got married, all that good stuff. She came back. She had nothing but a daughter-in-law who was from a heathen nation. She had nothing. She says, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, which means bitter. She says, I'm bitter. She was bitter. She was being real about how she was feeling. This is what's in me. I'm bitter. And when you think of bitter, this is what else you can think of. She's mad. She's angry. She's unforgiving. She got an attitude. Something is not right. I don't like it. This is not where I want to be. This is not what I want. Why I had to lose my husband. She's bitter. David, when you read the Psalms, is probably the most, he's one of the most transparent people that I've seen. He says, I'm depressed. He says, I'm afraid. You know, he's just straight up, I'm a sinner. Don't take your Holy Spirit, Lord. Like, he's just straight up transparent about what is there. And what about the man in the New Testament that says, I believe, but help my unbelief. He said, I have faith. I believe in you, Jesus. I know you can heal my son. But I got some areas that I don't have faith. That's real. I've been there. I don't know about you, but I can believe for this. But then is this thing right here? I'm just, God, I need you to help me. So here's the deal. We have a few ways that can help us see ourselves. All right? A few ways that can help us see ourselves. A few ways that God uses to point it out. The first thing I want to say is, when it is pointed out, don't flip the script. And so a lot of times when people tell you about yourself, then you have a comeback. Well, and you, what are we not talking about? We're talking about you. We could talk about me another day. Let's talk about you right now. You see, don't flip the script. And the other thing is, don't rebuttal. Yeah, but, no, it's no buts. Okay? When God points it out to you, receive it. And so First Lady, I'm going to tell him this. So First Lady told me the other day, she said, I've told you some hard things before. So I started thinking, my mind racing. I'm like, what she told me? I don't remember what she told me. So I'm like, what did she tell me? So I was thinking all day, couldn't remember what she told me. So later on that night, I was talking to Cardell. And I'm like, man, First Lady told me we was here, and she told me. I said, oh, I remember what she told me. But guess what? You know why it's hard for me to remember the hard things? Because I received it. Okay? I didn't get mad. I didn't have a comeback. You know, I received it. Okay? Whether I liked it or not. And honestly, what she told me, I knew that about myself. I knew that about, but it's okay. It's okay, because if she's telling me that and she see it, then that's a problem. I have a problem. I have to work on some things, okay? So here's a few ways, besides the word of God, pastor preach every Sunday, if you don't see yourself on some of the, sometimes, it was times I just wanted to disappear, like, don't see me. Because you have to be able to see yourself in the word, all right? But here's other ways in your marriage. Yep, you go see yourself. Oh, yeah, your husband go tell you about yourself, okay? And it's vice versa, too. But when he tell you, don't have a comeback. We definitely have a comeback with our husbands. Another place is with your spiritual mom or mentor or your spiritual dad. Our spiritual dad, Pastor Omar, he says so much from the pulpit, you should never have to go to him and ask him a thing at all. And you shouldn't want to. I never wanted my daddy to correct me anyway. That was a scary thought. But your spiritual mom, and so we have First Lady. And so I just want to make a point that she is your spiritual mom, not your bosom buddy, not your best friend. She is your spiritual mom. She has an assignment as a spiritual mom to nurture you, to cultivate good in you, to rebuke you sometimes, to point out those things. Welcome it. Welcome it. It's okay. Is she doing it out of hate or out of love? Yeah. And when it comes out of love, it's going to produce good fruit in your life. Then we have our friends. So, as I was preparing for this message, I asked a couple of my friends to tell me about myself. And so they did. And they didn't know I was preparing for this message. And so, but the thing about it, and this is what blessed me about it. Well, first of all, well, anyway, so this is what blessed me about. What blessed me is that they both had to think about it. They had to think a little while. And what that tells me is that I'm not still operating in it. That I have progressed from whatever it is that they've seen in me, you know? And so I appreciated that. And when I'm going to show the list of all the stuff that we kind of have, my stuff is in there too, the things that they said. I'm just not going to tell you which ones they are. And so you want friends that will rebuke you and tell you about yourself. If the only friends you have, when you're wrong, they say, oh, that's okay, you'll be all right. Oh, they was wrong. That's not no good friends. Okay, you want friends that's going to be the iron sharpening iron. Y'all might even disagree sometimes. We disagree sometimes. Two of us more than the other, but okay. It works for our good. It works for our good. And I remember Pastor preached a message one time, and he said, when you find friends, one of the friends you would always want to keep near you is a prophet. I got two. So I have one that she'll just go into the prophetic. And she'll just say something. And then I'm standing there, and I'm a thinker. So in my mind, I'm saying, Lord, do I have any idols in my heart? What idols do I have? What is idolatry in my life? Am I lifting up anything? It's just, but it's good. It's good. Because it's making me check myself. And that's what our friends should do. All right? And why? Because it's out of love. We want each other to grow and be better us. Okay? Another way God points it out is through fellowshipping and connecting. And the thing about fellowshipping and connecting is this. We get together with a group of people, and then we decide, I don't like such and such. I'm not hanging out with them no more. Well, you see, don't try to figure out what's wrong with such and such. Figure out why you don't like them. Because why you don't like them is your stuff. You see what I'm saying? And when you fix your stuff, you're going to be able to deal with such and such, even if they're in their stuff. All right? The other way that God shows us ourselves or points our stuff is if you've ever been in any kind of position of leadership or on a job where you're a manager, God will show you you. Yes, and so you'll get that person that just won't submit. Lord, is that me? Am I unsubmissive? Show me where. That's the attitude we should have. It shouldn't be to condemn them. It should be look for it in yourself and then deal with them with the same grace God dealt with you. And the last thing I want to mention is this, because this one is important to me. I'm a school teacher. It's through your children. He will definitely show you yourself through your children. Now, here's the thing. You have to figure out, you're going to deal with it, or you're going to cultivate that stuff because it's in you and you don't want to deal with it in you. Okay? It's a beautiful thing to tell your children about themselves. It's a beautiful thing. I had one kid. This kid just told me, they said, I have jealousy in my heart. I was like, their parent tells them about themselves. Praise God. So I do that to my children too. You know, I said, you're stubborn. But here's the thing. They're cut from my cloth. They're cut from my husband's cloth. Okay? And so I'm not shocked or surprised. Okay? They come from me. All right, but what am I going to do? Am I going to call it out and deal with that issue and then deposit something good and cultivate the good? Or I'm going to leave it and play around with it and to tie it and don't correct it? So moving on, if you know yourself, no one will have to tell you about yourself. And if they tell you about yourself, it's going to be something you already know. All right? And that saves you from being offended. But you shouldn't get offended anyway, because everybody in here should love one another. And we should tell each other things out of love and not out of spite or anger or hurt. All right? If we can do this, if we can get to that place, we're going to grow so much faster. We're going to get along so much better. It's going to work so much better when we're in teams. We won't have to try to figure out, well, this one have to be on this team and this one have to be on this team because they can't work together. Come on, that's foolishness. I don't know if they can put it up on the screen, but I had a list of stuff. Oh, there we go. Oh, she must be typing it. Okay, well, it's a lot of stuff, so I'm just going to keep moving. But you figure out what it is in you, not the surface stuff. Let's forget the surface stuff. And we can even go deeper than this here, because you see, right now we're just talking about what we can identify. The next part would be why we do what we do. But I'm going to let the Lord deal with y'all about that. I'm not going to deal with it. So, you know your stuff. If you're controlling, know that you're controlling. But don't just know that you're controlling, though. Go to the Lord. God, I feel like I have to be in control of every situation. You know, take this away from me. You know, self-centered, I think, is all about me. Manipulation, working in the details behind scenes to make things happen up front the way you want it to go. You know, deception, telling half-truths, which is still a full lie. You know, being jealous of one another. Like, we have to see it in ourselves, all right? And out of the, see, the, like a double talker, somebody who say one thing here and then say something else here. You see, your heart already exposes you. You just keep talking. Somebody who has discernment can figure it out. Not really even figure it out. God just gonna reveal it. It's just gonna be revealed. And you know what? It's not about us knowing you. No, it's about God knowing you. All right? Because that's where the fear should be. Surely not of man. I can't do nothing to you. I can't send you to hell or to heaven. But allow each other to get the cream cheese off of our faces. All right? We are the Hebrews. All right? We're moving into a different dispensation. We need to be better than we were before. And we need to not live up to the stereotypes and the things that we're called. All right? Let's live up to what God calls us and who we should be and walk in that. And so, here's the balance, because I don't want you to leave here condemned and feeling horrible about your stuff. Because I know when I went through the fire, it was very hard for me. It was very, very hard. Okay? I want to remind you that God is a God of love and grace. The Bible tells us that, but God commended his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were in our stuff, he died for us. Because he loved us first, not because we love him. He loved us even when we was in our mess. In Ezekiel, he says this, and this is another one of my favorite passages, Ezekiel 16. He says, and when I pass by thee and went and saw the polluted. Polluted is contaminated, diseased, dirtied up. He says, I saw thee polluted in thine own blood, in your own blood. He said, I said unto thee, when thou was in thy blood, live. Yeah, I say unto thee, when thou was in thy blood, live. When you was in your polluted, dirty blood, he said, live, but life is in the blood. You can't live in polluted blood. So when he's telling you to live, he's giving you an exchange, his blood for your blood. He's taking your polluted blood, giving you his clean blood, his pure blood, the blood that gives us life. Okay? When you was in your mess. And he continues in that passage, and he just blessed us. Blesses me because he says, I covered you when it was time to love you. I loved you. He said, I made a covenant with you. I anointed you. I washed you. He said, I dressed you with fine linen. He said, I call you exceedingly beautiful. That is the whole purpose of this process, is to beautify you. He said, then I prospered you. So I want to encourage you that God's love, you can't be separated from it. You're in the palm of his hand. Nobody can pluck you out, even in the midst of your stuff. But that's not an okay for you to stay in your stuff. Because of his love and his grace, it should do something in our hearts that say, I don't want to be in this anymore because of the price that was paid for it. So be confident in this very thing, Philippians tell us, that the work that he which had begun a good work, and he has begun a good work in each and every one of you. He has started a good work. When you believed in Jesus Christ, the work had already begun. All right? He that started a good work will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Because it's going to continue. He will perform it. It's continuing. Because sanctification is a continuous process. While we're here on this earth, we are being sanctified. It's a daily process. Paul says, I die daily. Die to what? The flesh, the world, sin. Why? Because there's a war raging inside of him. The things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. The things I find myself doing, I don't want to do. There's something raging inside. It's a war between the spirit and the flesh. In the book of Esther, and I am almost done. In the book of Esther, Esther had to go through a beautification process, a purification process for 1 year. 6 months bathing in oil, 6 months in perfumes. And so I looked at that, and you never really hear anything negative about Esther, anything. But I said, you know what? She couldn't have been perfect because we all have original sin, something. So while they're working on the external, I believe God was working on the internal for that 1 year because there was something. She had a purpose. There was a reason why she was in there, and it wasn't because of her beauty. It wasn't because of her talent. It wasn't because of her gift. It wasn't because she was Hebrew. She couldn't even tell him she was Hebrew. Okay? But this is my revelation. Esther was an only child. Now, I have three sisters. Two didn't live with me. My other sister, she's 9 years older than me. So because of the age gap, it was like being an only child, right, Des? So, you know, even though you know you have siblings, you're not concerned about what sister need, what this need. It's just you. She was an only child. When we look at Esther's response to things, I realized that she didn't really respond in the Christian way or like the immediate godly way. What do I mean by that? Okay, so Mordecai is walking around in sackcloth and ashes because he's mourning. Her response is, send him some good clothes. She never asked, well, why are you mourning? You see, then after that, he tells her what happens. She don't say, wow, my God, this is my people. She says, well, I can't go to the king for 30 days. This is her initial response, okay? Then after that, I see selfishness and self-centered. Okay, I see that she's just really still thinking about herself, okay? But Mordecai says this. He says, you think you're in there because of what? Your beauty? Your gift? Your talent? No. And if you don't do what you're supposed to do while you're in there, God go deliver us. But don't think you go be straight because you're still a Hebrew. And this decree is still against you. And so, you know, he pretty much kills her pride. But guess what? Her next response, it is the right response, but it also tells me that she knew she had a weakness and she needed the Lord's help. She said, okay, I'm going to fast and pray for 3 days. Me and all my maidens, you tell all the Hebrews, we're going to fast and pray. Why? I need the Lord's help. Because I got some stuff that got to get out of the way for me to do what I need to do for such a time as this. Because I'm not in here because of all the talents and all the accolades and all the things that I think I should be in here for. No, I'm in here for the purpose of God. And my stuff has to get out the way. And so with that said, God makes all things beautiful in his time. All things. This scripture blessed me when I was going through my fire. Okay? That though I felt ugly, though everything I saw was ugly, though I didn't like what I saw, that he makes all things beautiful in his time. And so on the last point, lead me. David says, lead me in the way of everlasting life. All right? So after you've shown me my stuff, after you've pointed it out and I've seen it and I realize that this is the wrong way, now, God, I need you to lead me. But here's what I see that David is saying. He says, the way that I'm going, I don't want to go that way no more. I'm going to follow Jesus. I've decided I am going to follow Jesus. Okay? But he's willing to follow Jesus. Now, here's the thing about that. So now David is saying, take me off the other road, bring me on this road. But the Bible tells us in Matthew 7:14, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, which is the everlasting life, and few there be that find it. The thing about this narrow road, you know why it's narrow? Because it wasn't a troop of people paving the way. See, when you walk on the ground, wherever you walk is where the grass is going to lay. It was only one person walking. His name is Jesus. It's narrow. It's narrow. And on that path is where you have to stay. The Broadway has several options. It's so big. You can do this. You can do that. You can go this way. You can go that way. But the narrow path, and that's why few find it. That's why if you find it. But at the point of salvation, when you decide, I will follow Jesus, at the point of salvation, this is where everlasting life begins. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that who shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. When you believe in Jesus Christ, decide to follow him, you will have this everlasting life. It's the life of blessings. It's the eternal life. It's the life that continues far beyond this earth. It's the life that promises that you will be with God. It's the life that says you'll have a relationship with him now. It's the life that says you will be blessed now and later. It's the life that says you are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. All these blessings, if you obey, is for you. It's that life, the everlasting life. And so, this is what I want to leave you with tonight. I pray that you will examine yourself. Go before God. Know your stuff. Don't be okay with your stuff. Get rid of your stuff. Okay? See the fruit when you and such go get along, because you're not dealing with that stuff anymore. Those hurts, those pains, those unforgivenesses, the bitterness, whatever it may be, let it go. Let it go. And then follow Jesus. What is it he says? What should you do? Where should you go? Where is he leading you? What are you called to? What should you be doing? All right? Be real with yourself, because oftentimes we can see other people's stuff and we're ready to tell them. But are you ready to receive it? You see? And you know, oftentimes people could tell you, yeah, but you're not ready. And God knows you're not ready. You're not ready. You think you're ready, but you're not. But I pray that your hearts are prepared now, that God can point it out. Not me, not anybody else, that God. See God in it. Don't see the person in it. See God in it. Now, if you're in a place tonight that you don't know Jesus like that, you don't have that personal relationship with him, You are not following him at this time. You know you have a lot of stuff, but you know it's not being worked on. You've been content in your mess. Today is the day of salvation for you. Okay, today is the day of salvation for you. And it's very simple. We can go through the book of Romans. It's very easy. All right. The Bible tells us in Romans, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's every single one of us. We all fall short. We all have stuff. We all have sin. There's not one of us on the face of this earth besides Jesus Christ when he was here. He's the only one that is sinless. We all have sins. But God commended his love towards us that while we are sinners, Christ died for us to pay for those sins. Because the wage of sin, the price for your sin, one sin, whichever one you want to pick, one sin is death. The price for one sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's that everlasting life right there. He died to give us a free gift. That's the grace. That's the favor. To give us a free gift of salvation. That we would not have to suffer the debt that he suffered. He suffered it for us already. All we have to do is confess with our mouth, believe in our hearts that he was raised from the dead. Not just that he died. We all die and we're all buried. We have to believe that he was raised from the dead. He's the only one that was raised from the dead and continued to live because our God is not dead. Lazarus was raised from the dead, but he died again and was buried. He'll be raised again when Jesus come back. But Jesus was raised from the dead and never died again. Our God is alive. Jesus is alive and seated at the right hand of the Father. He intercedes on your behalf. He's your lawyer, advocator. And the Bible promises that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it's that simple. We admit, we believe, and we confess. For those of you who are already saved and you see that you have stuff that has been undealt with, you have stuff that you're still walking in, you have stuff that you need to get rid of, you have any convictions, the altar is for you as well. You see, 2 Corinthians tells us this, 5:17, it says, if any man be in Christ, so that's you, believer. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are made new. Be made new. Walk in the newness of Christ. Walk in the new life he has given you. Take off the old man. Put on the new man that has been created in Christ in holiness and righteousness. So that's all I have for y'all tonight. I'm going to pass the mic to First Lady.
Wasn't that good, guys? That was awesome. That was awesome, awesome, awesome. Ms. Ranika talked about a few things, and then I'm going to give time for the altar. And it was just really powerful, and it blessed me so much. Sometimes we think of the cross as just for outward sins. But as she talked about tonight, the cross is also for inward sins. And there's a lie that is in the earth that women can't get along with women. All right, there's a lie that women can't get along with women, especially black women can't get along with black women. All right, but it's a lie. But what happens is what hinders our relationships is all that stuff that Miss Ranika talked about tonight. All of the sins that we have. And it's just not fornication or adultery or things of that sort, but it's those sins of the heart. And at the altar tonight, we're going to open it up so that you can come and ask the Lord to forgive you for those sins of the heart. Those sins that may, like we may be unforgiving with one another, can't get along with one another, holding a grudge with one another. And not only the people in this room, but your family members. Some people don't talk to their own sisters and mamas and brothers and cousins. But you know, at the cross is where forgiveness is. And it's enough of that. We need to let go of that. And like Miss Ranika said, if you want to grow in Christ, this is the first step to growing in Christ. We cannot stay the same. Okay, this is a new season that we're walking in. And in order for you to walk in that new season, we have to let go and let God. Begin to love again, begin to forgive again. And accept whenever God corrects you and say, okay, God, that's me. I'm prideful. I'm jealous, God. Fix me. So if any of you are bold enough to say, I have issues, come on up to the altar. I know I am not going to be alone at this altar because guess what? Like Miss Ronika, every one of us have original sin. And there's something in us that God wants to get rid of us, even he did with Queen Esther. And I love that example. That was phenomenal. All of us have some selfishness. We talk too much, but why do we talk too much? Attention and pride. We do things for vain glory. But God is so good that he commended his love to us, even while we were yet sinners. Not while we were on the stage ministering, but while he found us in our blood. He said, when you're at your lowest spot, is there where I love you. Isn't that amazing, Ms. DeWanna? Not whenever we're all decked out or fancy smancy, but is in our low, wretched spots is whenever he really shows us that he loves us. And I don't know about you today, but I love a God that loved me without makeup on. Yeah, I love a God like that. And I thank you for that word. That blessed my spirit tonight. So we're going to pray tonight, and we're going to ask the Lord to forgive us. He is in the business of forgiving. Okay? So, Father, we just do thank you. We thank you for the mighty and anointed word tonight. You really spoke to me when you said, Ronika, to teach. I thank you, and the word confirmed it, God. Now, Father, we do thank you for loving us in spite of our faults. I ask that you would forgive us of all of our sins. Go ahead in your private ways and ask God, say, Lord, forgive me of all of my stuff, all of my pride, my stubbornness, my rebellion, the sometimes how I act like Jezebel, forgive me for when I talk too much, forgive me when I'm rude, when I am mean, when I lie, even half-truths, which is a full lie. Lord, forgive me. Even when I think wicked thoughts, when I plan wickedness on my bed, I ask that you would forgive me. I am sorry for all of my sins. For the times when I gossip about other people, when I tear down my house with my own hands. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins, for all that stuff. Thank you, Lord. I believe that on the third day, you rose again with all power and might in your hands. I accept you as my only, my one time and only sacrifice for my sins. Now, Lord, allow your Holy Spirit to come inside my heart and lead me and lead me and lead me the way I talk, the way I walk, order my steps in your word, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. I feel a breakthrough spirit in this place. Go ahead and tell the woman on the side of you that God has set me free tonight from some stuff. God has set me free tonight. Yeah, yeah. God has set me free. You are dismissed. Be blessed. Share the goodness of the Lord. You are a blessed woman of God. Good word, Miss Ronika. Very good word.